I'll just speak for a few minutes, for a few Sundays. And if I would ask anyone, what is salvation? What would the answer be? Yeah. You're right. I mean, in any other, God's mercy. But God tells us what salvation is. God is salvation. He is salvation. In Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. God tells us that He is salvation. He is, God is salvation. He is the designer of it. He is the author and finisher of it. And He tells us in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1, He says, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Jehovah, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation." No, salvation is God Himself. He's the one who designed it, and by nature we don't like it because we are offended at it. We have nothing to do with it. And it says here, "Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation." When you start looking at the Bible, you start looking how glorious and wonderful and magnificent God's salvation plan is. We stand there with open mouth awe that God would do that for anyone, that He will save anybody. It's indeed an amazing grace that He will save a wretch like any one of us. But God, when He saves us, He has given to us His perfect righteousness. As we need that righteousness, which is a perfect righteousness from God Himself, He covers us with His righteousness. And you could use all these words to describe how wonderful and magnificent the mercy and grace of God is. And He has given it to a people who are not deserving of it. Not one of us deserve this wonderful and magnificent salvation which He has given to us. And He goes on in verse 3, He says, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise Jehovah, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto Jehovah, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." So we see here God is salvation. And how wonderful and wonderful that is. And you start looking at the Bible throughout the whole Bible, and you go into the Psalms and in Isaiah, God, He has a lot to say about this wonderful salvation. And we see how He became our salvation through Christ. We see as Christ demonstrate what He did, what God already had done to pay for the sins of anyone. We saw it as Christ came and demonstrate to us what God had to do to save a people for Himself. You know, you could study the Bible many, many lifetimes, and you could never come to the depths and the riches of how wonderful God's salvation plan is. And He goes on to describe it, that when He saves us, we reign with Him, and in all these wonderful language that God tells us how wonderful salvation, God's salvation is. And we begin to see what He had to do to save His elect. He saved His elect. If you'll look at, let's look at Psalm. And you go through Psalm, you see a great deal of the verse that God speaks about salvation. Psalm 70. In Psalm 70, was it Psalm 70? And I wrote the wrong verse down already. Let's turn over to Psalm 79. Psalm 79. Psalm 79, verse 9. Psalm 79, verse 9. "Help us, O God, of our salvation, for the glory of his name. See, God's salvation plan is for the glory of his name. Help us, O God of our salvation. So true salvation is from God, because God is our salvation. As we just read in Isaiah chapter 12, God became our salvation through Christ. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name. God's salvation plan is for his glory, for the glory of his name. You know how wonderful it is. It says, deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sakes. See why he has saved the people for himself? Nothing that we did. No, we're not deserving of it. It's for his. Twice in that one verse it says, for thy name. And at the end it says, for thy name's sake. Why, he has forgiven us of our sins. You know, it's indeed, you can't stop to talk about the mercy. That's why I read Deuteronomy chapter 6. As we wake up, we lie down, we have to be talking about the wonderful word of God and his mercy. As we rise up, as we walk by the way, as we go about our daily activities, we have, throughout our day, we have to be just praising God and worshiping him for such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful salvation that he has given to his people through Christ. Through Christ. And we can't even begin to scratch the surface of it. How can it be that God would save you if you're a true child of God? We can't give one reason why he should save any one of us. Not even one. Because we're all unprofitable people. That's what we are. We're all unprofitable servants. So whether we, the least we can do, as God says, lay our life down on the altar of service to Christ in thanksgiving and praise to him. And even with that, that's not enough to thank God for such a wonderful salvation. We can't repay God for that. We can't. All we have to do is walk humbly and obediently before him and use our lives and our bodies to worship God and to praise him. And in eternity to come, the true believers are going to be praising God and worship him throughout all eternity for such a wonderful salvation that he has given to us. Can't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Twice it talks about for the glory of his name.
Right.
And what you're talking about is the purpose of salvation. You know, it's not for us. We're nothing.
Nothing.
The glory of his name, which is the word of God, we are saved through the word of God. So we see how the name of God and the word of God is tied together, because salvation brings glory to the word of God when he's demonstrating the power and the authority of his word through salvation.
Right. And there's salvation
life into death.
As it says in Acts 4, there's salvation in no salvation in any other. There is no, all the religions of the world promise this and this and whatever. It doesn't bring salvation. Only the word of God. Only the word of God that saves a sinner. Let's look at, and God, if you go back over to Exodus, remember when Israel came out of Egypt and they came up against the Red Sea, which were, a lot of us are familiar in Exodus chapter 15. Remember that account? It's a great picture of what salvation is. I'm going to bring up the context here. Exodus chapter
15, verse 2.
Yeah, I want to pick up the context here a little bit. Let's start at Exodus chapter 14, verse 29, and read through 15. Exodus chapter 14, verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus Jehovah saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which Jehovah did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared Jehovah and believed Jehovah his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto Jehovah, and spake, saying, I will sing unto Jehovah, for he hath triumphed graciously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Jehovah is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, I will exalt him. Jehovah is a man of war. Jehovah is his name. What did God just did to the army of Pharaoh? He destroyed them. He destroyed them. And here, God is telling us that he has become salvation. He is the savior of the nation of Israel as he brought them through the Red Sea, and the armies of Egypt tried to overthrow them. And God now gets the glory for salvation. What did Israel do? Did they do anything? No. God parted the Red Sea. They came through on dry land. It's a great picture of salvation. And here the Israelites, they begin to sing and thank God for what he has done. This is a great type of picture of salvation. See, here God now gives a picture of God becoming their salvation. And so it is in our day. When the Lord Jesus comes and takes his people home and he destroys the wicked, well, he's already is our salvation. And here he's going to destroy the wicked as he did here in Pharaoh's army. And that is a picture of the last day, judgment day. You see, and verse 11 of Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, he goes on to say, "Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? There is no God like Jehovah God, none. Who is like unto God? No one." You see, because all the gods of the world are idols. They're nothing. You see, "Who is like unto thee, O Jehovah, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" See, God gets all the praise for this wonderful, this glorious salvation that he has given to his people. Look at Isaiah. And then there are many, 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 many verses throughout the Bible. God speaks about his salvation plan, how glorious his salvation is. In Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 7. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. Jehovah hath called me from the womb." He's speaking about Christ. "Jehovah hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hide me, and made me a polished shaft, in the quiver hath he hide me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Here in all this is speaking about Christ as you go on down. "Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught, and in vain, yet surely my judgment is with Jehovah, and my work with my God. And now, saith Jehovah, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of Jehovah, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel." I believe the preserved of Israel are God's elect. "I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles." Here Christ is, God is speaking about a time when Christ would come into the world to demonstrate what he did for his elect. "For Christ is the light of the world, that thou mayst be my salvation." Christ is salvation because Christ is eternal God. "Unto the end of the earth, thus said Jehovah, the Redeemer of Israel, and the Holy One, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship before Jehovah that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Here he's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because what Christ went through, it was glorifying God as he demonstrated what he did. All this bring glory to God, and he did it for his people. You go on again to Isaiah 61. It's the same idea there in Isaiah 61. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 5, we read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," because we're speaking about our Lord Jesus Christ. "Because Jehovah hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison house to them that are bound," which are God's elect. Christ came in here in the world for one purpose, to demonstrate what he did to pay for the sins of his elect, because as we know that before we're saved, we're held captive by Satan at his will. And he says to proclaim the acceptable year of Jehovah and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beautiful ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. And in other parts of the Bible, the believers are known as trees of righteousness, the planting of the Jehovah, that he might be glorified. See, all of it is pointing to the glory of God, that God might be glorified. "And they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of aliens shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But he shall be named the priest of Jehovah. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. He shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves." And God goes on. So you see the same thing there, that Christ came into the world to really glorify God and what God had already done. And in verse 9, "And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, and that they are the seed which Jehovah hath blessed. I will greatly rejoice in Jehovah. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation," which is Christ. Christ is the one who is clothed with the garments of salvation. "He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with the ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." Speaking about a people that was going to become saved from all over the world, that's going to bring glory and praise to our Lord. And you see another verse in Zechariah, after Haggai. You have Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 11. It says, Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 11. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh," speaking about Christ, "unto thee. He is just and having salvation." Remember, keep in mind that God is salvation. And here God is using the same language to speak about Christ. Christ came into the world having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. "And I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen." Didn't he speak peace unto us? Because he is peace. Remember when he was born into the world, what was the angel say? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I will send forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. And you know we're held captive by Satan, and Christ came and he opened the prison door and he let us out. And in Luke, turn over to the new Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And there we read and break into the middle of the chapter. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. See, he's not the only one who waited. We also have to wait upon Jehovah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's looking at Christ. He's looking at Christ. Remember, God is salvation. And he's looking at Christ, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's saying, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which was spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So you see, Christ is salvation as he came into this world. And see, let's turn back over to Psalm 149. Let's be the last. Psalm 149. The Bible has a great deal to say about this, how wonderful God's salvation program is. Psalm 149, verse 1. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise ye Jehovah, sing unto Jehovah a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. For Jehovah taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. And who are the meek? Blessed are the meek. God's people. And Christ is also meek because he's meek and lowly of heart. Sometimes he uses words that you have to try to see who it's speaking, but his people are Christ. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises be praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. His honor have all his saints. Praise ye Jehovah. I was reading this last night. I always wonder when. I'll ask Chris at open forum. Okay, let's stop here. And remember, today is a long day. Is it whenever? Couple speakers, couple studies. I believe Gunther is going to have two studies. I think Chris is going to have two in an open forum. And we're going to have a break in between. So we're going to stop here and take a short break, and we'll come back. But let's pray before we end. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And once again, O Lord, you have allowed us to come together to fellowship around thy word. O Lord, what will we do without thy word? Thy word is absolute truth. O Lord, we pray as thy word is taught and read, and we pray that you will lead us into truth, and may thy name be glorified. And O Lord, have us to wait patiently for thee, to wait upon thee, because thy way is perfect. And you know all things, and we know that all things is working out to the praise of thy glory. O Lord, give us patience. Glad at the end, you know that, O Lord, you have all the power to bring what you said to pass in thy word. Lord, be with us this day. In Jesus' name, amen.